just a little ways into a series on what's coming, looking at things that different authors and different places in the Bible have to say about things that are coming. So far, the things that we've considered are pretty tame, actually, and pretty small. One of the things coming is you're going to turn back to dust. That's a pretty big deal for you, but on the grand scheme of things, that's not a very big deal, because you're just a vapor that's here for a little while, and you don't even know what tomorrow holds. So we've considered some of the things about ourselves and our future and what's coming for us that the scriptures remind us of. And those things are important for us, and we've got to live accordingly, but they are kind of small. And all of us knows that when the scriptures talk about things that are coming, some of the most dramatic, hard-to-understand passages in all the Bible are about things that are coming. The apocalypse. It's a Greek word for the unveiling. And the curtain gets drawn back. And we all know, even if we don't understand those things, that whatever those things are, they're kind of scary and kind of big. The sun turning to blood and the stars falling from the sky and armies and tribulations and doesn't sound just run-of-the-mill and ordinary. It sounds big and cosmic. And we're going to gradually move to some of those things that the scripture says of are coming. The book of Revelation opens with, here are the things that must shortly take place. And there's dragons and beasts and trumpets and vials of wrath and angels doing things and a pretty big deal. So we're going to touch some of those things, not just the little things about ourselves, our own short future, or what the days that remain to us here on earth, but what about some of those big things that the scriptures touch and talks about things that are coming. Today we want to consider just the perspective and the thought of 2 Peter. What Peter says is coming. Now, there's only three chapters in 2 Peter. Peter is about to die. He says in the letter that his time of departure is close. So probably the last things from his pen. And it's three chapters. And so it's the last will and testament from Peter. The opening verses of the letter paint a pretty big picture. A big picture of what Christianity is and what the Christian life is about. And it just sets the agenda for the letter. So if you have that piece of paper, look at that opening paragraph. Where Peter paints this big picture of what Christianity is, what the Christian life's about. His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. For by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Now for this very reason also, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, and he goes on and gives a list of seven things that build, that we need to add to our faith. After he gives a list of those seven things, we have to be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. Therefore, and it goes on. So Peter opens by saying that God has granted to us everything that we need for life and for godliness. He's granted to us exceedingly great and magnificent promises. By them we become partakers of the divine nature. We become children of God. That's what our faith is about. To be a person of faith, a person who believes in Jesus Christ, that's what it's about. To have taken hold of those exceedingly great and magnificent promises, to be granted the provision of Jesus Christ that pertains to everything that in life and in godliness. We become partakers of God's own nature. That's what the faith is. And then he encourages us, okay, if you have that faith, you have to add to it. You have to supply to that faith a series of things. You have to supply some moral excellence to it. You have to supply some knowledge to it. You have to supply some self-control to it. supply some perseverance. You have to add some godliness, some brotherly kindness, and some love. He says, if you practice those things, you will never stumble. You won't be useless or unfruitful. You will make your calling in your election, his choosing of you, certain. And then he concludes those opening remarks of saying, here's what the faith is about, and it's important to add to your faith these things. If you're practicing all these things, you'll never stumble. You'll make your calling and election sure. Then he concludes those opening remarks by identifying the desired outcome. The desired outcome is entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That will be abundantly supplied. Peter has in mind a pretty otherworldly. It's not the kind of thing that we would tend to say we want our faith to result in. It would be more likely for us to say, what would you like your faith to result in? Some personal fulfillment of some sort. My faith to help me reach all my potential, feel good about myself, grant me a successful and a prosperous, a healthy life, make me a great husband and dad, and help me succeed in my business and have great friends, etc. Peter says he wants the outcome to be entrance into the eternal kingdom. So he gives this really big picture of being a Christian, of the Christian life, of its outcome. Then the next word is therefore. We're about halfway through chapter 1. And he says, therefore, having painted this big picture. And then he spends the rest of the letter, the last 2.5 chapters, talking about things we should know and talking about things that we should do as people of faith who are supplying these things that are needed so that we can enter the eternal kingdom. Okay, the rest of the letter is, here's what you should know and here's what you should do to be those kinds of people, adding these kinds of things, growing in this way with a view to this outcome. On the outline then, I've listed some of the things that Peter decides to tell us after he writes that word, therefore. I put them just in italics, as a remembrance to us, to remind us that the things that he says, they are connected to what he has said in the opening verses. They come after this word, therefore. This is what he chooses to talk about, to connect us back to being people of faith, supplying these things with a view to entering the eternal kingdom. And I'd like you to just note references that Peter makes to things that are coming, things that are out there in the future. He says, therefore, when he talks about some things, he says, you do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star arises in your hearts. So people of faith need to pay attention to some things. I haven't put in there all of what those things are, but he says you have to pay attention to some things. And it's like paying attention to a lamp in a dark place until something happens, until the day dawns and the morning star arises. So we have to pay attention to some things, like paying attention to a lamp in a dark place, until something comes, until the day comes, until the morning star arises. So whenever that's going to be, pay attention until then. And I was thinking about this, I thought of Jonathan Mills. He was telling me a story once about Jenna, his daughter, wanted to take a cookie or do something that her parents had forbidden. And Jonathan says to her, if you take that cookie, you're going to get sent to your room. Thinks about that and she goes, how long would I have to be in my room? So she's trying to weigh, well, is it worth the consequence that I'm going to get? If it's a mere 10 minutes, maybe it's worth the cookie. If it's 3 weeks, maybe I'll forego the cookie. Until she's trying to figure out what the outcome will be. Well, here, pay attention until. Stay at it until the day dawns, morning star arises. Peter says that many will follow their sensuality. Because of them, the way of truth will be maligned, and in their greed, they will exploit you with false words. Their judgment from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep. So Peter says, Daryl, as you're these people of faith applying these things on your way to the eternal kingdom, there will be some bad stuff around you. There will be some exploitation. But he says, judgment and destruction is not idle or asleep. Judgment and destruction are coming. In this next one, Peter's going to reference some things that God has done in the past. So there's a series of, if God did this in the past, then we can draw a couple conclusions about it, what God will do in the future. So he says, if God did not spare angels when they sinned, but cast them into hell and committed them to pits of darkness reserved for judgment, and did not spare the ancient world, but he preserved Noah when he brought a flood upon the world of the ungodly, and if he condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah to destruction by reducing them to ashes, having made them an example of those who would live ungodly lives thereafter, and if he rescued righteous Lot, then the Lord did all those things in the past. Then the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from temptation and to keep the unrighteous under punishment for the day of judgment. So Peter concludes here two things that the Lord knows how to do. He knows how to rescue the godly, and he knows how to keep the unrighteous for the day of judgment. Something else he says after the therefore. Talks about some folks who are like unreasoning animals, born as creatures of instinct to be captured and killed, reviling where they have no knowledge, will, in the destruction of those creatures, also be destroyed, suffering wrong as the wages of doing wrong. But Peter says there's some folks, they're like animals. And when those animals are destroyed, they also will be destroyed. This is kind of its their day will come type of idea. Day when they are destroyed. They've done wrong, they're going to suffer destruction as a consequence. So it's their day will come. Next one. By the word of God, the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water and by water, through which the world at that time was destroyed, being flooded with water. And by his word, the present heavens and earth are being reserved for fire, kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. So Peter here affirms that it was God who created the heavens and the earth. But he also affirms that the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire. Fire that will bring judgment, fire that will bring destruction of the ungodly. And then the last one says, the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up. The judgment and the destruction of the ungodly is going to take the heavens and the earth with it. This is Peter's version of it's all going to burn, right? So after the therefore, people of faith supplying all these things so that they're not unfruitful and useless, so that they make their calling and election sure, so that they're diligent in order to enter into the eternal kingdom of Jesus Christ. Therefore, and it's 2.5 chapters, and he talks to us about what we should know and what we should do being those kinds of people. And he tells us we should pay attention until the day dawns and the morning star arises. He tells us that the judgment for the wicked is not idle, it's not asleep. He says that the Lord's past actions serve notice that the Lord will certainly do a couple of things in the future. He will rescue the righteous. He will keep the unrighteous for the day of judgment. Peter says that those who destroy others will themselves be destroyed. They will get their day when they are destroyed. He says that the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire. It will be the judgment and the destruction of ungodly men. And when that judgment and destruction come, the heavens are going to pass away with a roar, and the earth and all its works are going to be burned up. There's certainly in those verses some indication of things that are coming, isn't there? Peter believes that God has given us great and magnificent promises. Those great and magnificent promises draw us into the very life of God. We become children of God. If we want to be useful and fruitful, we want to make our calling and election sure, we need to do certain things if we want to enter into that eternal kingdom, you know, when it comes. So when Peter talks to us about being such people, on such a pilgrimage, as he talks to us, he says quite a bit about things that are coming. So if I asked you now, we haven't seen everything in those 2.5 chapters, but what does Peter emphasize, or what does he focus on concerning what's coming? If you were going to summarize what Peter wants people of faith who are doing all these things to know, if you're going to summarize it, if you're going to put it into a sentence or so, what would you say? What does Peter want people of faith to know as they go on this pilgrimage? What would be your response? What do you glean? Put those verses together, and what's Peter hung up on? Thoughts?
The passing away of this creation.
Okay, the passing away of this creation. It's good. Anybody else?
Judgment is coming.
Judgment is coming. Judgment for who? For
the unrighteous.
Okay, judgment for the unrighteous. Very interesting thing. Peter wants us to know about the heavens and the earth. He wants us to know what's coming for the heavens and for the earth. He does indeed affirm that it's God who created the heavens and the earth. So he knows the heavens and the earth are good. They are indeed his creation. God brought them into existence. But he also says the present heavens and the present earth are only temporary. They are reserved for something that is coming. They're reserved for fire. They're reserved for the day of judgment, the judgment of the wicked and of the ungodly, of the unrighteous. And when that judgment comes, heaven and earth are going to pass away. Sometimes, people who talk as if they would like God to judge evil tomorrow, wish God would just show up and do justice, render justice and fix all the evil that's out there, I'd like him to do it tomorrow, forget what such judgment entails for the heavens and for the earth. I mean, if God comes and judges all the evil that there is tomorrow, it's sayonara to the heavens and the earth. Because that judgment is going to bring an end. The heavens are going to pass away with a roar, and the earth and all its works are going to be burned up. So you might not be overly enthusiastic hoping God judges evil tomorrow. Now, no doubt, Peter knew that all of us individually must stand before the Lord in judgment. That all of us individually must stand before the Lord to receive reward for the things that have been done in the body, whether good or evil. But Peter does not focus on us as individuals. Well, he does not call attention to the individual judgment that awaits each one of us. If he knows about that, he would certainly affirm and confess that. But that's not his focus. Rather, Peter's focus is on the whole deal that we are part of. So he does not emphasize that you will be judged, which is true, but that's not his emphasis. He doesn't emphasize saying you will be judged. His emphasis is that the world will be judged. That judgment will destroy uses that word a lot, doesn't he? Talks a lot about destruction. That judgment will destroy the ungodly and the wicked. And that judgment will bring the heavens and the earth to an end. Peter wants us to know there's a lot of things that are going to burn. A lot of things are going to be destroyed. So here's something that is coming. Coming is the judgment and the destruction of ungodliness and wickedness. It's a judgment that will bring an end to the world as it now exists. And Peter doesn't want us to misread what is in fact the patience of the Lord as a guarantee that things are just going to continue as they are. So why does Peter want us to know that it's all going to come to an end in judgment? Why does he want us to know that? Now, why tell us that judgment is coming to destroy the ungodly and the wicked? Why tell us that that judgment will cause the heavens to pass away and the earth to be burned up? Why does he want us to know that?
Because he also lets us know that God preserves those that are wicked through whatever the destruction might be. So if we are going to see the heavens and the earth be destroyed, there's going to be quite a dramatic rescuing of us or setting aside of us while this is all being renewed, being destroyed.
Okay, there's always a second part here that we'll touch too in a second of God knows how to rescue the righteous when such judgment happens. Whatever comes after that judgment, can he cause his own people, those who are pleasing to him, to enter into? So, yes, he's able to do that. So why does Peter keep reminding us, not just about that you must stand before the Lord in judgment, but that the whole earth is going to be subject to a coming judgment, a judgment that will destroy ungodliness, the wicked, the unrighteous, and kind of that judgment's going to bring an end, you know, to the present heavens and the present earth. Why does he want us to know that? Why tell us that after the therefore? Other thoughts?
So we don't hold so tightly to it.
Okay, so we don't hold so tightly to it. Well, okay, if it is indeed temporary and it's going to pass, going to be destroyed, loosen your grip a little bit. I think that's a wise conclusion. Anything else? Other thoughts?
In the middle of that last paragraph,
you're cheating. Go ahead.
I am cheating. Since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you to be in your conduct and godliness? How then shall you live?
Yeah, so he's going to say, since all these things are going to be destroyed, and he's let us know that all these things covers a pretty big front. So what sort of people should you be, since this is all going to, you know, be lost in judgment? And then he's going to turn it around, and we'll look at it specifically in a second. But we're also looking for the coming of a new heavens and a new earth. What sort of people are you to be if you hope to be around to enter that when it comes? I think part of the reason Peter wants to remind us, not of just individual judgment before the Lord, but that God is going to bring judgment on the whole world, and he's going to destroy evil and unrighteousness, is that in that there's a reminder, people can't and people don't get away with things. Recall some time in your life when you did something and you wondered if you were going to get caught. But then some time passed, and gradually you start to relax, right? You zoomed right through the stop sign. You look in your mirrors. For a couple of blocks, you wonder if the cop saw you, you know? But then you get a few blocks away, and there was nobody there, you know, thank goodness. I don't think I'm going to get caught. You know, just so any activity where am I going to get caught on this? But then some time passes and you start to relax and say, I think I got away with it. I didn't get caught. Peter says to all of us, don't think just because some time has passed that you got away with it. 2 Peter is a reminder that what happens in Vegas does not stay in Vegas. That what happens in Vegas, and of course everywhere else, is reserved for judgment. And when the judgment comes, it's going to bring it all to an end. It's going to destroy it. Of course, I think we should apply that to ourselves. Neither I nor you are going to get away with anything. But I also think it's good for us, we need to apply it to like kind of like the whole deal that we're part of. God is indeed the judge of all. No one is going to get away with anything. Often, I think, if you know that, that often means I'm okay to leave it in his hands. And if you're ever tempted to be mad that you think they're getting away with it, you're mad that that whole group, they're getting away with a bunch of unrighteous, ungodly things, or that person, no, nobody ever gets away with anything. God is the judge of all. He's not going to miss anything. It's all reserved for judgment. If you want to say, well, it doesn't seem to be coming very fast. Everything seems to continue on. It's like driving through the stop sign and no cop car shows up. Pretty soon I'll take more liberties with stop signs. I'm not going to get caught. Peter says, don't mistake the patience of the Lord for the idea that no judgment is coming. So notice that final paragraph, which is towards the end. I've edited it a little bit. But Peter says, know this first of all, that in the last days, mockers will come with their mocking, following after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all continue just as it was from the beginning of creation. Peter says there will be lots of people, since the judgment is delayed, ain't coming. Been like this as long as we can remember. But Peter says judgment is coming. And so a few verses later, he says, however, since all these things are to be destroyed when the judgment comes, you know, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be destroyed by burning and the elements will melt with intense heat. So Peter says, don't think it's not coming, it is coming. So what sort of people ought you to be? He identifies in your conduct and in your godliness. And then he turns it around, but according to his promise, we are looking for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, spotless and blameless, in regard the patience of our Lord as salvation. So since all these things are going to be destroyed, be this kind, live this way, since you're looking to find some new things, draw some conclusions for how you should live. Peter takes to task those who live as if no change is coming. That if they don't get caught and don't get hurt too badly today, they can just keep going. If I pulled it off and nothing too bad came to me today, okay, I'm okay, I can just keep going. Peter wants us to know some big changes are coming. And he wants us to draw conclusions on how we live in light of the coming changes. All these things are to be destroyed. That's a reason for godliness and holy conduct. And a new heavens and a new earth are going to come. The new day is going to dawn. The morning star is going to rise. That's a reason to be diligent, to be spotless, to be blameless, Maybe there's a chance that you'll be able to enter into those new things when they come. So God is not going to leave the present system intact. That's an important thing to know. God's going to do something about all the ungodliness and all the wickedness and the evil. He's going to do something about all of that. He's going to destroy it. He's going to eradicate it. He's going to bring it to an end. That's going to be, by the way, the end of the world when he does that. If you want to be rescued from the coming catastrophe, and you would like to enter into that which comes afterwards, how should you then live? How should you position yourself with respect to what's coming? Great example, of course, currently in the world with Britain exiting the EU, European Union, and everybody scrambling. How do you position yourself to what's happening? Peter says almost something similar. There's big changes coming. God's going to destroy unrighteousness and evil. The new heavens and the new earth in which righteousness dwells is going to come. So how would you like to position yourself in light of those coming changes? So I just want to encourage you to think about that. What sort of people should you be? What sort of person should you be? You know, maybe it means some type of major change. Too much pursuit of things that are going to pass away, not enough pursuit of things that are going to be coming. So some type of major direction. Maybe it's a shift of emphasis. Maybe it's just, okay, I got to keep those things in mind. It taught me to tweak some things of what I emphasize. Maybe your allocation of assets. Like the tight grip that you have on some earthly things. I can loosen up that a little bit. And I like a little bit more heavenly treasure. Things that will survive the coming catastrophe. Or maybe it's the desires that you have and the goals, what it is that you're looking for, longing for. So I think you can work it out, but in light of what's coming, both the destruction, the judgment of unrighteousness and godliness and the whole deal, you know, system-wide and coming, righteous things after that, new heavens and a new earth, how should we then live? Those are things Peter wants us to know for us as we're people of faith, supplying in our faith moral excellence and godliness and knowledge and self-control, etc., making our calling and election sure and being useful and fruitful until we can gain entrance to the eternal kingdom that's coming. Know about all these things. So I hope that doesn't seem to you, oh, Roger talked about the world's coming to an end. So it's important for us just to know the Lord is patient. He wants nobody to perish, but everybody to come to repentance. But there are changes coming. The present heavens and the earth are temporary. Judgment's coming. And the thought that when evil gets destroyed, that will be like just a minor tweaking of the system. 10 Democrats and 2 Republicans will die. We got rid of the evil. It's not like that. The heavens pass away. The earth gets burned up. And it's the end of all that we've known and thought was almost permanent. All these things are done with. So it's a very big deal. It's coming. And after that, new heavens and a new earth. The day is going to dawn, the morning star is going to rise. Blessed are those who attain to that coming thing. So be live appropriately, I guess, is the exhortation.